This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. The federal government denies emergency funding to Long Island again after that blizzard from February. The Suffolk County executive delivered a State of the County address last night, plus Amtrak takes another look at their Northeast Corridor. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. For the second time, the federal government has denied emergency funding for the blizzard that buried Long Island this February. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio has more.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul has applied twice now for a disaster declaration that would free up federal dollars for damage caused by the blizzard. And twice, the Trump administration has said no. Democratic officials from New York, including Hochul and U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, say President Trump is playing political games with a blue state. The White House overrode FEMA's decision to send aid to three states led by Democrats, according to an investigation by Politico. A Trump spokesperson tells Newsday the state should pay for the damage out of its own pocket. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
New Britain officials say former Mayor Aaron Stewart has failed to pay back nearly $250,000 she owed the city. Stewart racked up the bill using city funds for personal use. WSHU's Will Morgan reports.
In May, investigators said Stewart misused city funds for personal items like clothes and makeup. She promised to pay restitution and suspended her gubernatorial campaign shortly after. She had been considered a frontrunner for the Republican nomination. Current Mayor Bobby Sanchez says Stewart has made no contact with the city since June. The city says Stewart also missed two previous deadlines to pay in July and August, and they say they'll take the necessary legal steps to recover the funds. Along with the city's charges, Stewart is also facing both federal and state investigations as a result of the accusations. Will Morgan, WSHU News.
At his State of the County address last night, Suffolk County Executive Ed Romaine says the county's finances are in good shape. WSHU's Vic Pepe has more from the speech.
Romaine says the county has made great strides in improving its financial standing since he entered office in 2024. He also says he has no plans to increase general fund taxes in the coming years. He says Suffolk County has also seen five bond rating increases.
And I'm going to quote what the rating agency said. They cited improvements in liquidity, record reserves, strong management practices, conservative budgeting, and forward-looking fiscal planning in doing those upgrades.
Romaine says his official budget proposal for 2027 will be out in 3 weeks. Vic Pepe, WSHU News.
Amtrak is taking a second look at their Northeast Corridor. A conversation on that is coming up.
America's history is filled with stories that never made it into the textbooks. This Labor Day, Off the Path goes looking for some of the most fascinating tales from the nation's earliest days and the people keeping them alive today. Hear a special edition of Off the Path Monday night at 7 on WSHU.
Nassau County is among the top 10 most expensive places for commuters in the entire U.S. That's according to a new study based on U.S. Census data. Four other New York counties made the top 10, including Manhattan, the most expensive in the state. Bridgeport officials are considering using eminent domain to build a footbridge between the city's Black Rock neighborhood and neighboring Fairfield. It would go through the parking lot of a baseball practice facility and across Ash Creek. The area already has a bridge connecting the two neighborhoods with access for both drivers and pedestrians. A concerning trend is emerging at farm stands on Long Island's East End: theft. Many farm stands there operate on the honor system for payment, but farmers are reporting more and more theft of produce or cash boxes. Some farmers have resorted to shaming the bandits on social media, according to a Newsday investigation. This is WSHU's Birdsong Break. This week, it's the wood duck. Recognized by that slicked-back crest, these common freshwater residents can be seen in our region all year long. Take a breath, listen, and let nature remind you to slow down. This has been WSHU's Birdsong Break featuring the wood duck this week. Special thanks to the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, and visit WSHU.org for more. Years ago, Amtrak undertook a controversial study about the Northeast Corridor train service running through Connecticut that would have seen rails running through protected land and quaint shoreline towns. People Power put a stop to that plan, called NEC Future. Now Amtrak is looking again at the Northeast Corridor, and WSHU's Brian Scott Smith spoke to Joe Barr from Amtrak and asked him what was different this time about the new study.
The biggest difference between that study and NEC Future and what we're trying to do this time around is really focusing on what I'll call an outreach forward approach to the study. So the idea is that we are talking to the local communities from the outset, really even before we start to craft what our proposals might be or what the ideas we have and put those out there. We just want to talk to people first, get to know them, get to know what's on their mind, what they're concerned about, what they're excited about. And not just about transportation, that could be more broadly what they want their communities to be like in the future, so that we can make sure that as we do get into the more technical work, we are able to give them ideas and concepts and proposals that are responsive to what they have expressed to us. And they know that we are, in fact, listening to them, because I think one of the problems with the prior study was that the communities felt that they had to put up their hands and make a big fuss in order to get their concerns paid attention to. And so we really want to make sure that we're coming to them at the outset to hear from them before, like I said, we start all the more detailed technical analysis.
You've already had, I believe, a couple of pop-up events. Just explain to us what those were about.
The intent of the pop-ups is to really to meet people where they are. I would say there's really two main purposes for the pop-ups. One is to just make sure people are aware the study is happening. Because the last thing we want to have happen is people say, oh, I didn't know, I didn't hear, you know, no one told me you were even doing the study. And then we sort of get that as a source of pushback, and we want to hear from people. The other intent is really to get input on where are people traveling, what are their sort of highest priorities for the things we might be trying to do to make improvements.
I believe this is a 2-year study. Is that a good amount of time for something that is as important as this, the Northeast Corridor?
It's a good amount of time. It's not overly generous, but it's also not trying to rush things. We want to move at a pace that folks are comfortable with, both with the state DOTs that we're partnering with on the project, and also with the public at large, that we're not moving too quickly for them, but we also don't want this to take forever. We're not going to be seeing anything built immediately after this. We don't have funding for the next phases of even design, much less construction, but we also don't want to take forever, and because we know that there are needs that we need to try to satisfy at some point in the not too distant future. And so we just want to make sure that we're keeping moving.
Amtrak has been investing and is continuing to invest in the rail network quite heavily. In Connecticut alone, $1.3 billion for the Connecticut River Bridge. That will be finished around about 2030. So that is a huge investment. Also, Acela 2.0 has been launched as well. So is this all part of that timing cycle?
I think a lot of it comes from the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act and the funding that was provided there, and that it's helping to support all kinds of capital improvements. I mean, Amtrak is doing very well right now. We're setting ridership and revenue records for the past 2 years. We're investing an unprecedented amount of money into our network and on the capital side. So we're really seeing the fruits of those labors. But this study, just like the Connecticut River Bridge, this is a much smaller amount of money, but they're both funded by money provided from the IIJA. So I think we're seeing, again, the fruits of those investments in both big and small ways, and really trying to guarantee the success of the Northeast Corridor in the future, because a project like Connecticut River Bridge is replacing a critical asset for the NEC. Project like New Haven, the Providence Capacity Planning Study is looking forward to the future. How do we make sure that we're able to continue to operate trains reliably in the future, looking at extreme weather, make sure that we're able to improve the speed and capacity and reliability of our service up and down the corridor, and particularly in this case, between New Haven and Providence. And so, you know, they're all part and parcel of a larger effort to really improve service and, again, secure the future of the service for decades to come.
I saw a map and it covered most of Connecticut and went up to Hartford. Was there sort of a suggestion that possibly a train service could run up to Hartford to then to like across eastern Connecticut through stores? And if so, I'm guessing that would give that more direct route, which gives the trains the ability to get up to speed.
That's definitely an idea that's been thrown out there. We don't know at this point whether it's going to make the first cut or the final cut. Again, we're trying really hard to not draw any conclusions yet about the actual alternatives or routing because we want to hear from people, but we know that that's an idea that's floating out there. So I'm not going to pretend that it doesn't exist. But yeah, I mean, I think we're looking at, are there improvements to the existing alignment that could help address the issues we're seeing or whether we see coming in the future, as well as are there new alignments that could help? We know from the NEC future history that new alignments also come with a lot of potential impacts and controversy, but also could potentially really revolutionize the travel experience. So we're cognizant of the challenges associated with that, but we also understand that we're going to need to at least consider some of those options when the time comes. So again, I don't want to presuppose what the alternatives might look like, but you know, we're certainly trying not to rule anything out at this point because we know that it's a very tough problem to solve and it's going to require a lot of creativity and flexibility. But we need to start, like I said earlier, with those conversations with the community so that they understand kind of where we're coming from, what problems we're trying to solve. And really, it starts with them realizing that even though they may not take the train regularly, a lot of people do, and there are real problems today, and those problems will increase in the future. And so we need to be looking for solutions that really address those problems. But you got to start by explaining to people what's actually happening, because I may spend my days thinking about how trains run, but I recognize that not everyone does.
When we talk about capacity, other than a new route or whatever, are we also talking about increased capacity by way of the amount of trains as well? Because that's something that we often hear here in Connecticut, is people feel that there isn't enough frequency of trains, and that's therefore part of the problem as to why they don't use them.
Absolutely. And I think we want to look for ways to increase the levels of service as well as the speed and the reliability. And that includes not just Amtrak service, but we're very aware of the desire for additional commuter rail or regional rail service, particularly with some of the growth that's happening with Electric Boat and some other employers in this part of the region, really figuring out how do we serve those growing needs for the future. And so we want to make sure we're looking at number of trains, the types of trains.
Joe Bart, Senior Director, State Partnerships and Development East Amtrak, thank you again for being on WSHU.
Thank you very much.
We know what you'd rather hear on WSHU, the next story, the next piece of music, the program you tuned in for. And that's why we're cutting our next pledge drive from 11 days to 5. Help us get a head start now, and every dollar you give will be matched with another dollar. Visit WSHU.org, or you can call us if you like. The number is 800-777-9748. Thank you so much for your support. For all the latest from around Long Island Sound, listen to us on the radio, online, with our free app, and tune in right here to the After All Things podcast every weekday evening. I'm Sabrina Garon. Thank you for being with me today. Enjoy the long weekend. I'll be back with you on Tuesday.